अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की, that I know have an Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10. This is Chapter 3, entitled The Birth of Lord Krishna. We're going to read text number 51. Nanda Vrajam Sari Upecha Tatratam. It's okay. It's a little long for us. Nanda Vrajam Sari Upecha Tatratam Gopan Prashuttan Upalabhya Nidraya Sutam Yasoda Sayane nidayatat sutam upadaya punagriyanaga. We can repeat the translation by Srila Prabhupada. When Vasudev reached the house of Nanda Maharaj, he saw that
All the cowherd men were fast asleep.
Thus he placed his own son on the bed of Yasoda, picked up her daughter, an expansion of Yoga Maya, and then returned to his residence, the prison house of Kamsa. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Vasudeva knew very well that as soon as the daughter was in the prison house of Kamsa, Kamsa would immediately kill her. But to protect his own child, he had to kill the child of his friend. Nanda Maharaj was his friend, but out of deep affection and attachment for his own son, he knowingly did this. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that one cannot be blamed for protecting one's own child at the sacrifice of another's. Furthermore, Vasudev cannot be accused of callousness since his actions were impelled by the force of Yoga Maya. In the next two verses, we'll just read the verses. Text 52. Devakya sayane nyasya vasudevo tadalikam pratimuchya padur loham aste purvavad avritaha. Translation. Vasudev placed the female child on the bed of Devaki, bound his legs with the iron shackles, and thus remained there as before. Text 53. Yasoda nanda patne cha jatam param abhujyata Nata lingam parishvanta nidraya pa gata smiti. Translation. Exhausted by the labor of childbirth, Yasoda was overwhelmed with sleep and unable to understand what kind of child had been born to her. Avagyana timirandasya agyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam jena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tadubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanabhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This particular purport in text 51, without the purport it may suggest that how can Vasudev, knowing that Krishna was born to Vasudev and Devaki, go and exchange the babies? And at that, he brought a girl child back. And here, in this particular purport, Prabhupada have us understand that that Vasudev is having the feeling that when he takes the girl child back, Kamsa is going to kill the girl child. He himself didn't know the potency of this particular child. Like that. Kamsa is going to kill this child. Because the prophecy was that the eighth child of Devaki will kill Kamsa. And Subhadra is not the eighth child of Devaki. And Vasudev knew this very well, and therefore he felt, how can I do such a thing? When he placed Vasudev Krishna, that merged into Shama Sundar Krishna, like that, and picked up the girl baby with Subhadra, he felt not so good. He felt, I'm taking this girl to her death. He felt like that. Prabhupada is telling us in this purport. And he said, on top of that, she is not really my daughter, she's the daughter of my close friend, Nanda Maharaj. How can I do such a thing like that? So this consciousness is sort of spoken about by Srila Prabhupada in various purports and also in the Krishna book, why this actually sort of happened. And then at the beginning of the 10th canto, Maharaj Parikshit, he also asks Sukadev Goswami, how come the six babies were killed? You know, they were just killed one after another. Although Devaki was sort of traumatized by it to a certain extent, but she was more traumatized at feeling that the eighth child would be killed. In that sense, like that. In that way. So how come these children were allowed to be killed, and then Vasudev went and brought this girl baby to be killed? by comes of knowing full well that the eighth child cannot be killed and that he is exchanging in that way. So we're going to wind up that discussion for today. In that sense, I thought that was looming a little bit there, like the day before when we discussed it. Just to recap, we're aware that the six sons of Marichi had been cursed to take birth by Hiranyakashipu. And they also became the sons of Kalanemi, who was Kamsa in the previous life as the demon Kalanemi, like that. And they were cursed to take birth from the womb of Devaki, like that. And upon being killed by Kamsa, they would be delivered. Upon being killed by Kamsa, they would be delivered. Now the question arises, what if Kamsa did not kill those children? What if Kamsa did not kill those children? They had to be killed. Because if they were not killed, they're coming in as conditioned souls with demoniac tendencies. So someone with a demoniac tendency and being a conditioned soul cannot really, in one sense, participate in the positive side of the leader of the Lord. They have to become liberated in the process. They have to become liberated in the process. So we'll see how, after they were killed, the six sons, where did they go and what happened after that. Just to wind up that loop in that sense like that. So just to recap a little bit further also, that when they were cursed by Hiranyakashipu as his grandsons, like that, Prabhupada says, but another reading says they also became as if his sons. You know, sometimes the grandson can also be called the son in that sense, like that. So there's two readings to this. Okay. But Prabhupada specifically says grandfather to the grandsons. But in another reading in the 10th canto, it says that they also sort of became as if the sons of Hiranyakashipu, although they were sons of the Kalanemi, and he cursed them for leaving him and taking benediction from Lord Brahma, like that. Now, when this happened, when the six sons were killed by Kamsa, formerly being the sons of Marichi, which in one sense personified as the incarnation of the mind, and these sons are not in terms of being the positive players in the Leela, because they are the six sons comprised of the nature of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion and envy. So if they are born to Devaki and suddenly Devaki sees that this son is lust, so it won't apply in terms of the positiveness of the Leela. Lust has to be killed. Anger has to be killed. Greed has to be killed as the negative qualities of consciousness in that sense. So in one sense, that the personified form of consciousness of karma, krodha, lobha and so forth, and there's the personalities themselves who are wearing the dress of this consciousness. See? So the personalities who are wearing this dress of the consciousness are known as the sons of Marichi, from Kalanemi, like that. And then they have, the personified form has to be cursed to take birth and be killed, like that. So in other words, these personified forms of the six symptoms of a sinful consciousness, they had to take birth and be obliged to become the grandsons of Hiranyakashipu, taking his consciousness, because he is the sum total of the best of the demons, like that. taking that consciousness. So therefore, when Kalanami took birth as Kamsa, he was obliged to kill his own sons unknowingly, not killing his sons, but killing his own demoniac mentality. Like that. Just like it's like this. If Kamsa is composed of the nature of lust, and by the mercy of the Lord to be a player in Virya Rasa, to fight with the Lord. Like that. See? In other words, Kamsa is a disguised form of a pure devotee acting as a demon to give pleasure to the Lord in Virya Rasa. It's one of the secondary rasas. But at the same time, he has to become purified of his own lusty tendencies, greed and so forth. And eventually that will go away by the touch of the Lord. Eventually. But still, he's making some effort to let this go. So if he is composed of the nature of the lustiness of the situation, consciousness, then what he does is, he kills lust, personified in the form of the first son. In other words, it's like as if we were containing lust in our consciousness. We'll take that lust out and put it on the table and kill and say, go away. You know, like that. So you become purified of the personification of lust in that sense. So that's what's really happening here. Like that. So Prabhupada also says that these six sons were of the nature of these six types of sinful consciousness. They are actually a mystery. It's very mysterious of how this whole thing happens. Prabhupada says it's a mystery in that sense. But one thing is for sure. After these six sons were killed by Kamsa, Kamsa did them a favor. He did them a favor. And what is the favor? They themselves became purified of their own tendencies. Like that. And they went to the abode of Bali Maharaj. But they belonged to the heavenly planets in their original abode. These six sons. But they went to the abode of Bali Maharaj. And that's for a reason. Because Bali Maharaj is a devotee, although in a Daitya kingdom, although in a demon, but Bali Maharaj is a devotee. Like that. And why Bali Maharaj? Who's Bali Maharaj in relation to Hiranyakashipu? Huh? His grandson, great grandson, like that, in that lineage of his grandfather. Prahlad Maharaj. So therefore, in that same connotation, because Hiranyakashipu had a connection with Prahlad Maharaj, and therefore his sons or grandsons have to have a connection in the family lineage. Understand? But now, not as bad fellows of the personification of the conscious of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion and envy. So after they were killed with Kamsa, they were immediately delivered to the Patalaloka region. Going to a demoniac region, but with a devotional association in the form of Bali Maharaj. And who is his doorkeeper? Vamanadev. So the Supreme Lord is there also. So when they were kept by Bali Maharaj, these six sons, like that. They were not engaged in that activity of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion and envy. Because by the higher arrangement of providence or by the Lord, they meant to be killed by Kamsa, cursed like that. Killed by Kamsa and be delivered and purified of their own tendencies. So therefore they stayed with Bali Maharaj. After staying with Bali Maharaj, now they are fit. Now they are fit to come back as the sons of Devaki. their faith like that. So therefore, we find before we go to that point of how these six sons come back to Devaki, we will say some other things. Now the consciousness of Vasudeva and Devaki, knowing full well that the eighth child, through the prophecy, through the Akashvani, through the prophecy to Kamsa, the eighth child will kill Kamsa, that prophecy cannot be reversed like that. See? Now what the demigods did in the meantime, they did not want Kamsa to be affectionate to Devaki. And therefore, from an unseen position, they sort of encouraged Kamsa to offend Devaki. Prabhupada says like that, the demigods. And moreover, as we discussed, that the six sons of Marichi or Kalanemi, they had been cursed already to take birth from the womb of Devaki, and upon being killed by Kamsa, they would be delivered. They'll become free from the tendencies of material consciousness. So when Devaki understood fully that Kamsa would be killed by Krishna, who would appear from her womb, she became jubilant and was in great joy. But she also knew that the six sons would be killed before he, Krishna, appears. But why was she jubilant? Because her consciousness was focused on being conscious of Krishna. If she had the association of the six sons, her consciousness would have changed. Like that. So to safeguard her own consciousness, to be jubilant about Krishna's appearance, she sort of was not focused on whether the six sons will live or die. Because the prophecy was eighth child. So there must be seven children before that for the eighth child to be born. Like that. In that way. Now, sometimes we are aware that for a king to be victorious, he will send some advanced soldiers. And those advanced soldiers may also be killed. Like that. So in one sense, it is such an amazing thing that these six sons were meant to be killed by, cursed to be killed by Kamsa, first appearing in the womb of Devaki. They paved the way, in one sense, for the king, Krishna, to be victorious. So in another sense, these six sons who were killed, they did some service for Krishna. And by that service of being killed and being purified of their consciousness, then Balaram appeared in that way. Now, the 10th canto also describes Vasudev as being a person who is called Mahabhaga. Bhaga means, in one sense, a person who is sober and who is a man of character, and Prabhupada says he has an upright personality, like that. So Mahabhaga is practically an Uttama Bhagavat, in that sense. Now, you can very well imagine that Kamsa is going to kill all the children, because he's bewildered. Any one of them could be the eighth child. Like that. In fact, Kamsa, in his confusion, it's like this. It's like, he's saying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He's saying 8. And he's thinking the first child may be the eighth child. You understand? You get a little confused. The first child may be the eighth child. You know? Or the eighth child will enter the second child, you know, that type of thing. Because he knows this Vishnu is very tricky. You know, this Vishnu is very tricky. And then Kamsa may be feeling also to the extent, what if there's twins? What is this triplets? What is this, you know, quadruplets? You know, it becomes more confusing. We don't know which one. So Krishna can be any one of them. Like that. So he gets a little bit bewildered in that sense, like that. Yeah. Now Vasudev knew, because Kamsa is going to kill every child like that. But still, the Prabhupada says, and Sukadev Goswami says that any normal father, if he knows all his children are going to be killed, will he remain sober? Will he be sober? He won't remain sober. He'll become completely bewildered, completely traumatized and so forth. But Vasudev was never like that. Vasudev was never like that. Why? Because he was convinced that the eighth child is going to be the supreme love. Like that. And therefore their consciousness was, our duty is to protect that eighth child even at the expense of the other children. Even at the expense of the other children. If he focused on lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion and envy, he wouldn't be sober. He wouldn't be a Mahabhaga. He wouldn't be an upright person. He focused clearly. Yes, in his sober state as Mahabhaga, as a Uttama Bhagavat. Yes, I have to protect Krishna from not being killed by Kamsa. And that is a symptom of Vatsalya Bhava. And this same consciousness appeared into Devaki. Appeared into Devaki. Now it's like a type of conditioning. The first child was killed by Kamsa. Right? Devaki cried, naturally. Devaki cried. But when the first child was killed by Kamsa, Devaki never breastfed any of these first six children because they were immediately killed. Now, the reason why she didn't breastfeed the child is because she was in anxiety that Kamsa is going to kill this child. So no milk is coming out. No milk is coming out. So one by one, these six children were killed without being even breastfed. Even one drop of Devaki's milk or consciousness went in. Without, like that. So then what happens? Then this particular purport is there, like that. Still, Vasudev was feeling, okay, those six sons were killed, the seventh son was saved due to the agency of Yogamaya and so forth, went to the womb of Rohini. And apparently she had a miscarriage, that was there. We are aware of that. Balaram's appearances like that. See? So in this particular verse of translation and purport like that, here Vasudev is still feeling, just as those six sons were killed, now this girl baby will be killed. But I am sacrificing that this girl should be killed for Krishna, not to be killed. All this is done in a sober way. When it comes to normal circumstances of conditioned souls, this cannot be done. You'll be bewildered. Even if your son is a rascal, do not kill him. Isn't it? Even if your son is a murderer, a sinful person, a violent person, still is my son. Do not kill him. Even if he murdered someone, don't hang him. Isn't that feeling is there? Like that. But that feeling is not in Devaki. is not in? In Devaki. So what happens eventually? Eventually what happens? After Kamsa is killed, and Kamsa was an empowered demon, he was especially empowered by Krishna himself to fight with him. Not an ordinary personality in Viryaras. But after Kamsa was killed, then Devaki felt great relief. Yes, now the prophecy has been true. The result of the prophecy is true. Kamsa has been, Devaki has been a great relief like that. So eventually they all were living in Dwarka. All were living in Dwarka. So finally, after Krishna went to Kurukshetra and he came back to Dwarka, Devaki approached Krishna and Balaram. And she was remembering now, after Kamsa was killed, she was remembering the consciousness that after Kamsa killed my six sons, they are nevertheless my sons. At the same time, they were not allowed to stay with me and they were gone. Like that. Where are my six sons? I want to know. Devaki was feeling like that. But she only felt like that when she heard that when Krishna and Balaram were in Gurukul, in Sandipani Muni's ashram, like that. She didn't have that idea of her six sons to get back. She was just feeling some concern for them, where they may be now, after Kamsa was killed. But in that consciousness, when she heard that the Guru Dakshin, that Sandipani Muni and his wife asked of Krishna and Balaram. Do you know what the Guru Dakshin? Come on, you know? Please bring my son back. And they went to the abode of Yamaraj and they got the son of Sandipani Muni back. Now he's a grown up boy and they brought him back. So Devaki heard this and says, wow. They could do such a thing as paying back as Guru Dakshin to their teacher like that. See? So with great reservation, not to put Krishna and Balaram in a tight spot. Not to put Krishna and Balaram in a tight spot. The way she approached them, she said that, you know, I'm really feeling sorry for those six children, you know, who were killed. You know, they never really got any affection for me. You know, like that. I never treated them. I didn't even breastfeed them. You know, where might they must be? Like that. So then Krishna and Balaram asked, what do you want? Like that. They said, look. So Devaki pleaded to them, can you bring my six sons back to me? Just once. I just want to see them only once and I'll be fully satisfied. Like that. So Krishna and Balaram being affectionate to Devaki, like that. This is not coming from Vasudev because he is Mahabharata. He is Mahabharata. He knew exactly what happened and why it happened eventually by higher providence or arrangement of the Lord. But she requested like this. So immediately, Krishna and Balaram, they understood this like that. So what did they do? They summoned a Yogamaya. Krishna and Balaram, they summoned Yogamaya in Dwarka like that. Now not Yogamaya knows what she is doing. At the same time, she would not do without the instruction of Krishna and Balaram. So when they summoned Yogamaya, "You please come with us. With us, you please come with us now. Because you were involved after they were killed and took them away." You know, agency, energy agency, Yogamaya. So through the agency of Yogamaya, Krishna and Balaram went to the Sutala region. Sutala is in the Patala Loka region, like that. And when they arrived there, immediately Bali Maharaj, you know, received them graciously, and he was so happy, Bali Maharaj, that Krishna and Balaram came to him. Everyone desires the darshan, but Krishna and Balaram coming here. He was so happy, like that. So then Krishna and Balaram, after they came to the planet of Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj heard the prayers of, at least Lord Krishna heard the prayers of Bali Maharaj glorifying him, but he could see that Krishna was a little impatient. He could see that Krishna was not really hearing the glorification of him from Bali Maharaj. He was a little impatient like that. So after Bali Maharaj concluded his appreciation of prayers to Krishna, he requested, "Why have you come? Any service you have me to do, I will do immediately." Like that. So Krishna very carefully, he said that in the previous bygone ages, there was a Prajapati during the millennium of Swayambhuva Manu, and he became Marichi. Like that. Now, Krishna is very expert. He is not speaking about Kalanyami, and neither is he speaking about Hiranyakashipu. You understand? Because he's dealing with Bali Maharaj. And Hiranyakashipu and Kalanyami were connected to Bali Maharaj, to Prahlad Maharaj. So he's not speaking about them. He's telling about that millennium of Swayambhuva Manu, where one Prajapati is named Marichi. He had six sons, and they all became demigods, like that. And he gave the name of Marichi. This is the first time this is happening. And he says the name of Marichi's wife, her name is Urna. So he's giving like some family lineage, but he's not giving a connection to Hiranyakashipu and Kalanyami. Very expert, like that. And he said that these sons, somehow they were put into the womb of Devaki, my mother. And they happen to be my brothers. That closeness is there. Happened to be my brothers. But as soon as they took birth, this Kamsa, he killed them. Like that, one after another. And my mother is very anxious to see. And Krishna uses his words, anxious to see the six dead sons who are still alive with you. They were dead there, but they are alive with you. Like that. So then, Bali Maharaj is wondering, okay, if those are the six sons that are staying with me, you have to tell me the names. You have to give me the names. Now Krishna is all knowing and all seeing, like that. So he gives the names, and he tells clearly that these sons were conditioned souls, but now they become purified. They become purified. And I'll tell you the names. And he said their names are Smara, Udgita, Parisvanga, Patanga, Shudraprit, and Greeny. He said, after they come and get the darshan of Devaki, they will be reinstated in their original forms as demigods in the heavenly planets. So he identified what their names are. Now these names are different from the names of Marichi's sons before they were killed by Kamsa. And Krishna is giving these names. So it's very interesting that if Krishna gives a name to his own brothers, it's a form of diksha, form of initiation. And day before yesterday we gave the other six names of Marichi, which is not these six names. So Krishna is very expert, very careful, and very, you know, to deal with situations like that. Yeah. And when Krishna was dealing with this, Balaram was so amazed. You know, Balaram can be a very straightforward fellow. You know, very straightforward Gopa. He'll say as it is. But Krishna is not. Krishna is very tactful. Not diplomatic, but tactful. So after thus informing the king of the demons, Bali Maharaj, and then Krishna stops speaking, and because he's requesting Bali Maharaj, please give these boys back. He's not ordering or demanding like that. But Bali Maharaj understood Krishna's purpose. So then he worshipped Krishna, Bali Maharaj, and thereafter Krishna and Balaram, and Prabhupada says that they took away the six conditioned souls, although they happened to be his brothers in one sense. Took away the six conditioned souls and returned to the city of Dwarka, where Lord Krishna presented them as little babies. Remember, what is Lord Krishna is his age now is Some say 12, some say 16, but still he's a young boy, but not baby. But he took these six conditioned souls and transformed them into little babies and presented them to Mother Devaki. Now let's backtrack a little bit. When Krishna appeared as Vishnu, and then Devaki requested Vishnu to transform into a little baby. So Krishna transformed into a little baby. First Krishna appeared as Vishnu and then transformed. And then Krishna transformed into a little baby. Devaki immediately took that little baby and breastfed him. And breastfed that baby, Vasudev Krishna. So when Krishna, as Vasudev Krishna, little baby, was breastfed by Devaki, he felt fully nourished for the journey to Nanda Gokula. He felt fully nourished. That service she did to Nanda Gokula. And Devaki felt fully satisfied. But now, Krishna and Balaram came to Dwarka, but they are young men. They're no more meant to be breastfed. Like that. But because Devaki breastfed Krishna at that time in the jail of Kamsa, before he was carried by Vasudev to Nanda Gokula, and after these sons were sort of killed from the demonic mentality, now they were eligible to be breastfed by Devaki. Now, when Krishna brought them and presented them as little babies to Devaki, and she was also happy. Well, the six babies were all over her, you know, practically, like that. And she breastfed each one, just once. And just by being breastfed by Devaki, they became completely purified of everything. Why? Prabhupada says, because Krishna was first breastfed by Devaki. And that same breastfeeding to the six babies, they became purified because Krishna was first breastfed by Devaki. And they didn't stay for long, these six babies. After they were breastfed, they circled. They glorified Mother Devaki, okay? And immediately they went back to their original places on the heavenly planets. into the heavenly plans. Because Devaki requested Krishna and Balaram, I want to see at least once. Show me at least once. And they went back, respectively, to the heavenly planets, in that sense. So as they departed, Devaki became completely purified of that situation. What happened to my six sons? And she experienced one ecstasy called stunningness. I forget the Sanskrit, but to be stunned. Or sometimes it's called Adbhutaras, to be a wonder, you know, how this is happening. She experienced that wonder, stunness like that. That how can these dead children come back to me and again respected, you know, return to the respective heavenly planets, in that sense. So at that time only, because Vasudeva was a Mahabhaga, her husband, his consciousness went into her consciousness and she concentrated on Krishna. But after Kamsa was killed, she was wondering where these six sons were, out of motherly affection, like that. And now, when they went back to the heavenly planets, after she breastfed them, once only, like that, she could adjust all the events that happened in her consciousness, you know, that Lord Krishna can perform anything wonderful in his pastimes. And then she realized that this son of mine, Lord Krishna, is inconceivable to understand at that time. And then she understood everything was of a nature of high arrangement of what happened to my six sons. It was good for them, it was good for me, and it was good in service to Krishna. In that way. All right, do you have any questions or comments? Microphone here.
After Kamsa killed the six babies, why didn't his consciousness become pure? Why did he still carry on fighting with Krishna?
Why?
Yes.
Kamsa is destined to give Krishna pleasure in one way. And that pleasure that Krishna feels to fight with a demon cannot be experienced in Vrajmandala Bhumi. Okay. It has to be a real demon. It has to be a real demon, like that. Prabhupada in one lecture very nicely says that, you know, Krishna does not need to come to kill the demons. Krishna doesn't need to come to kill the demons. They themselves kill each other. And then the disciple asked Prabhupada, how they do that? He said they mutually make atom bombs and they kill each other. Like that. See? Then Prabhupada said, Paritranaya Saduna. He said that is most important. Not Vinashaya to Duskita. He said Krishna comes to alleviate the sufferings of his devotees who are harassed by the demons. Like that. Were harassed by the demons. So for someone to really fight with Krishna and try to, you know, Kamsa has to have the consciousness that I can kill this Krishna. That's the best fight, isn't it? Yeah. While he's wrestling with Krishna, Kamsa is saying, I have to kill this, I have to kill him. And Krishna says, no, I have to kill him. That is actual chivalrous ras. But it's got my Kamsa is feeling, oh Krishna, you empowered me to fight with you, to kill with you. If he's feeling that way, he won't fight. He won't fight. Like that. In that sense. Like that. So, one time. So, I'll explain this in another way. Like that. Srila Prabhupada told Jadurani, one of his early disciples, Mother Jadurani, He says, you painted this picture. You paint this picture. So generally painted Nishingadev killing Hiranyakashipu. Killing Hiranyakashipu. And then when she painted, and then she came and showed up at the sketch, you know, like how it would look eventually. The Prabhupada says, someone is missing there. He says, where's Prahlad? You put in Prahlad, and he explained to her exactly how to paint it. This, you see, the early painting is like more rough, then she refined it later on as she became more expert and devotional in painting. And after she painted that, where, you know, Hiranyakashipu is like killing, being killed by Nrisingadev, and, you know, took those intestines and garlanded him and so forth like that. See? And Prahlad is standing there with the garland. So Prabhupada said, now, on all our temples, on our altar, you put this picture. And we have a nice, big, beautiful picture of the same painting on the right-hand side, right? The temple. Beautiful. But put it also on the altar for worship. Like that. So as the movement became bigger and progressed like that, one devotee, he came, he was a little concerned. So he approached one of the leaders, because he was afraid to approach Prabhupada. So he approached one of the leaders who could easily approach Prabhupada. And one of the leaders, I forget who it was, they approached Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, you instructed that this picture should be put on all our ISKCON altars and all our temples? Prabhupada said, yes. Prabhupada, this means some problem. Like that. So what is the problem? He said that if the non-devotees come and see this picture, you know, Nrisingadev is clearing, you know, his intestines practically, killed him. And then how will they feel? They may be put off for a little bit. They may be put off. And then Prabhupada says something like, what? He said, if they see that picture, they will be cleansed of their own lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. They'll become afraid. This is actually God who's going to tear my intestines better and submit. They will get some fear. How can this be God? They'll start inquiring. And it happened to many people. They saw that, what is this? This is God protecting his devotee who is standing near. Oh, protecting, what is it? Many people become like, what is this? And even in Africa, the African people, they see this, wow! This is amazing, you know, that type of thing. Like that. So when Srila Prabhupada had his heart attack in late 1968, and he was taken to Beth Israel Hospital in New York City, right there. And he was in his hospital bed. And he said he practically died. In the letter, he writes like that to the devotees. He left his body for about 45 seconds and came back to it. Like that. So then the devotees brought Nrisingadev, the painting which Jadurani did. And then also got a painting of Radha Krishna. And Prabhupada said, just see, Krishna is in his loving spirit, and he brought it to Nrisingadev, and Krishna is in his angry spirit. He's angry to protect his devotee. Like that. But, on close introspection of this painting, Prahlad is standing there with a garland. Prahlad is standing there with the garland. You know, pushed by Lakshmi and by Brahma, you go, we can't go. You know, Prahlad, you go, you take this garland, you go. Because you are dear to the Lord. But the Lord is already garlanded. The Lord is already has a garland. What garland does he have? the interstices of Hiranyakashipu. Then Prahlad is coming with the other garland. And where is Nrisimhadev sitting? On whose throne? Yes, Hiranyakashipu made this throne for Nrisimhadev to sit on. He gave him also an asana. And Prahlad did not give his life for the pleasure of the Lord. Who gave his life? Hiranyakashipu. You kill me, that will give you pleasure, no problem. Or I kill you and I get pleasure. You decide. Like that. And in that great fight between Nrisimhadev and Hiranyakashipu, at times they were locked in tight embrace. They were locked in tight embrace. Like that. So therefore we should know that the conditioned souls as demons, they cannot get this chance to fight with the Lord because the modes of material nature takes care of them. Modes of material nature takes care of them. Okay. So how is it that the Lord will touch a conditioned soul, demonic person? The Lord only touches his dear great devotees. So therefore, we know who Hiranyakashipu is. He is a gatekeeper, you know, in that sense, like that. So these are, this is how it sort of works, you know, in that sense, that they give great pleasure to the Lord in veering us, in that sense. And these type of pastimes of fighting with the demons does not happen in Goloka Vrindavan or in Vrajmandala Puni. Never happens. It was such intensity and such ecstasy of viriras, or chivalrous nature, in that consciousness. Is that all right?
Yeah.
I think it's late. Huh? What's the time now?
9:15.
Okay. So I'll just end this with this one little anecdote, like that. You know, sometimes when we in Krishna consciousness. You know, sometimes we may question Krishna. Krishna, why are you making this happen to me? You know, this is not to my liking. You know? And you'll talk to Krishna. You know, I'm your devotee. But why are you making me suffer like this? Why are you making me go through this anxiety? You know, you'll talk to Krishna. But when you talk to Krishna like that, Devaki never did that. Vasudev never did that. The Pandavas never did that. Prahlad Maharaj never did that. Haridas Thakur never did that. Even Prabhupada says, Jesus Christ never did that. Prabhupada says like that in the purport. But we do. But we? No. Like that. But one thing is for sure, even if you do like that, it is not Viryaras that you're fighting with Krishna. It's not Viriras that you're fighting Krishna, because you can become angry with Krishna, and sometimes, you know, you'll take Krishna and shake him up. No, why are you doing this to me?
Cowardice.
No, you feel like doing that. You feel like doing that, you know. Krishna is worshipping you all day as Govardhan or as Govnitai and so forth. And then one day, one devotee, he has personal deities of Govnitai. And I happened to be at the door. The door was slightly open, so I saw through that the inside, you know, like that. And while he's dressing his deities, he's talking to Lord Chaitanya, and he has Lord Chaitanya in his hand. I don't know whether he was polishing Lord Chaitanya or something like that. And he's telling Lord Chaitanya, why this is happening to me? He's asking Lord Chaitanya, why this is happening to me? You know, while he's dressing deep like that. Then I kept quiet and I went away. When I came, after he dressed, he said, can I come for darshan? So he said, you can come in. So I said, he was talking to Lord Chaitanya. He said, no. I said, I heard you talking. He said, why are you fighting with Lord Chaitanya? He said, yes, sometimes I don't understand why this is happening to me. I'm worshipping him every day. Why this is happening to me? But I said, are you losing faith in Lord Chaitanya? He said, sometimes I feel like that. That, you know, is he really there for me? You getting the point? Now, yeah, six sons have been killed one after another. That's not, no ordinary devotee can tolerate that. Like that. No ordinary person can tolerate them. Like that. So these are special personalities. Super. We can take strength from them. Whatever happens to us by higher arrangement is nothing, is insignificant. Like that. So one time, one devotee, he wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada, and we'll end with this, it's short. He wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. At least it was a lady. It was a lady. Her name, I forget now. But it was a lady, lady disciple. So she wrote to Srila Prabhupada. I didn't read her letter, but by Prabhupada's reply, I could understand what letter she wrote. So he wrote to Srila Prabhupada something like, you know, my parents are really harassing me. You know, I want to be a devotee, I want to chant, you know, and so forth. My parents are really heavy on me. This is from the Western world, from America. And, you know, sometimes they say, why are you going too much to the temples? You know, something like that. My parents are really, like, you know how it is when you become a devotee, sometimes your parents are not favorable. They're really harassing me heavily. And Prabhupada writes back. Prabhupada writes back to her, and this letter is there. She said, your parents may be giving you some difficult time, I'm paraphrasing, but it says, at least they do not want to kill you. You should take strength from Prahlad Maharaj. His father wanted to kill him because he was practicing devotional service and preaching Krishna Kaan. His father wanted to kill him, but he said, at least your parents are nice, they don't want to kill you. We can take strength from these great devotees, great personality, and eternal associates of the Lord. All right, so we'll meet you again tomorrow for Jolan Yatra, at least, if you're not coming for the Gaurahati, but Jolan Yatra, and then we'll continue with some Krishna Katha by tomorrow by 8 o'clock. Thank you very much, Prasad. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anant Kodi Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Nitai Gaurava Narayana.